Well, good morning, apes, and welcome to another edition of the Daily Peel live stream here. We are, of course, coming at you guys live from the Daily Peel Global Headquarters. Today, we got some cool stuff sent over to us from Samsung and everybody else over at the Consumer Electronics Show. This specifically is Samsung's micro LED TV. You guys know I'm about the furthest thing in the world from a scientist, so I have no idea what's actually going on here, but it looks pretty fucking cool if you ask me. So, of course, we wanted to showcase that here today. A lot of cool shit going on at CES, and we'll talk about that more in depth in just a couple of minutes. But of course, today's main purpose, we are coming at you with Daily Peel number 623, good for this beautiful, Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. It's currently 10:59 a.m. here in Eastern Standard Time. Coming at you guys a little bit earlier than usual today, but hey, why not? We got plenty of time this morning, so let's spend some time together and let's check out how markets are looking already this morning. So we can see markets are off to a bit of a choppy start. It's more good than it is bad, but of course we're seeing small caps take a bit of a beating over here. Down just 25 basis points, not too terrible for the day. Not a lot of huge major catalysts coming out this morning, so no surprise to see it's relatively low volume, relatively light day here. Things are still, this is kind of the calm before the storm, before we start to get CPI report tomorrow, before we get bank earnings beginning on Friday, and all the fun of 2024 gets unleashed later on this month. But let's go ahead and see what was going on yesterday, see what's going to be moving markets here today. So this wasn't a big release or anything. It came out a couple of weeks ago, but we took the time to dive into some food prices as well and show just how much grocery stores across America are scamming you, me, and everybody else. Now, of course, we also did get some major movements from some stocks, including CrowdStrike and Match Group. JetBlue and HP had a tough day, but we'll dive into exactly why. Might not be as bad as it seems. Then, of course, the Consumer Electronics Show. This is why that we have this beautiful micro LED TV right here behind us. So we'll definitely be looking to check that out. I mean, look at how beautiful this image is here, too. If we go ahead and take a look at some of the movements of the WSO Alpha portfolio, the S&P, a lot of our other stuff here today, we can see that the WSO Alpha portfolio is finally positive for the year. So always a great thing to see. We were already generating some actual alpha compared to our benchmark being the NASDAQ. Remember, we benchmarked to the NASDAQ because beating the S&P is just too easy. So we needed a bit more of a challenge here. Of course, that's why we benchmarked to the NASDAQ. We have risen about 4 basis points for the year. So not a terribly strong start, but certainly better than losing my retirement money like these apes seem to love to do. So yesterday, we were up about 16 basis points. NASDAQ was up 9 basis points. Bitcoin down about 1.75%. ETH up about 1.25%. So always interesting to be following the crypto market, but especially right now, as you know, these Bitcoin ETFs and everything are on the verge of being approved. And that is, of course, our number one link for yesterday. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. One of the biggest blunders of any kind of government agency that I've ever seen in my years of experience here. So the SEC, they managed to get their Twitter account hacked yesterday. Somebody came in and tweeted that, the SEC had approved the spot Bitcoin documents and everything. It was completely fake, but for about 28, 30 minutes or so, everybody and their mother thought that it was real. Bitcoin prices spiked above 46,000 for the first time since fucking Vietnam at this point. But then it turned out that it was completely fake. Everybody started to blame Twitter and X, and people were, you know, pissed at Elon saying that how could you allow this to happen? But X did come out yesterday and say that it was not the fault of a kind of breakdown of their systems. Clearly, the SEC needs to get a stronger password. That's kind of the main takeaway for things here today. But of course, we did get some other news going on. So the European Commission, they're coming in. They got big balls lately, and they're coming in, knocking on Microsoft and OpenAI's doors, saying that, you know, it looks like there's going to be some antitrust issues going on with Microsoft's investment into OpenAI and into the AI company. I mean, Microsoft is effectively, at this point, the AI company. We haven't seen anything from Apple. Google is roughly on par, allegedly, is what, you know, the smart people tell me. And then Amazon has fallen behind just a little bit. They got major investments in companies like Anthropic, though, and Anthropic is said to be on par with OpenAI, but still, it's an interesting dynamic to see what's going on there. Then, of course, we got some ESG news yesterday. The Wall Street Journal came out with a piece on just how toxic that three-letter acronym has become on Wall Street. Everybody absolutely hates it, and it's a great iteration of either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. ESG has officially become the villain in this day and age, at least according to the Wall Street Journal. Then, of course, Bank of America research came out yesterday and said that the easing in financial conditions over the past 2 months, as we can see on this chart, is the fastest in history. I mean, that's absolutely insane, especially considering that the Fed hasn't actually done anything to promote that easing. They're still running $95 billion off the balance sheet every month. And they're also still, of course, haven't made any changes to rate movements. The market has already priced in quite a bit of that easing already. So it might be a little bit scary going forward if the Fed doesn't kind of live up to those expectations. Definitely something to stay tuned on there. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about why the dollar menu is not back just yet. You know, McDonald's, it used to be beautiful. You would walk in and you'd be able to get just about anything you could ever want for $1. Now they have the $2 and the $3 menu because foodflation is apparently still a thing. But according to the UN Global Commodity Food Price Tracker, foodflation is really not a thing anymore. It's more so that greedflation going down to these grocery stores. So let's see how much grocery stores are fleecing us by lately. So if we go ahead and take a look at the Food and Agricultural Price Index, don't ask me where the O comes in for this acronym. I certainly have no idea. But we go ahead and take a look at this chart. We can see this goes all the way back to the 1960s. Generally, it's a run-up in nominal food prices, decline real. I mean, that just makes sense. But the important part is this divot right here, this little downtick. This is between 2021, 2023 here. So basically showcasing that food prices have been on the decline. But if we actually go ahead and take a look at the CPI report, we can see that that's not what's happening to American consumers' pocketbooks. So even though global food prices are on the decline, the CPI report, you know, what grocery stores are charging consumers effectively, certainly has not been moving in the right direction. Now, we talked about meat and dairy prices in the piece yesterday, but just to give you guys another example, let's go ahead. What we're looking at here is the UN's kind of FAO. This is where they publish that data, and they essentially summarize it into these giant paragraphs. But the important part is this phrase right here. So what we can see is that cereal prices fell 16.6% between December 2022 and December 2023. Now, of course, we don't have the CPI report for December 2023 just yet. We're actually going to get that tomorrow. But if we go ahead and look at November, we take a look at cereals and bakery products. We can see this line item right here, this 3.4%. That's how much cereal prices for Americans have rose over the past year, at least from November of 22 to November of 2023. They've actually gained 3.4% despite, once again, the 16.6% decline in the actual commodity prices. And yes, there are other things going on here. Of course, there's going to be, frontline workers and everybody bumming around in a shop, Stop and Shop or Publix or whatever the hell it may be. They've been getting some serious pay raises over the past couple of years. So it's definitely other factors to consider, but certainly not enough to still be charging up the ass for a damn box of cereal. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what a pack of Cinnamon Toast Crunch costs these days, but if it's more than $3.50, I'm going to throw an absolute hissy fit the next time that I'm unfortunate enough to step into an American grocery store. But I mean, it's very interesting to see because it can't really be the supply chains either anymore because of these dairy and these meat products, at least for these dairy and these meat products, I should say, because the United States is the second largest producer globally of both of those, behind, of course, China and India, respectively. So we can't exactly be blaming global supply chains here. Maybe it's a problem with U.S. supply chains, but either way, grocery stores are fleecing you, they're fleecing me, and most of all, our wallets here. Usually a low-margin business, they're trying to get in on some gains. They think they're the new tech companies, apparently. So, of course, trying to bump up those margins. Interesting story. We'll definitely keep you updated if anything else changes with that. But for now, let's go ahead and check out some of the major market movers on the day yesterday. We have CrowdStrike, who has cemented themselves as the absolute NVIDIA market leader of 2024 so far. Shares are up just about 10% already. Haven't looked at it today. They might have crossed that 10% line already. But essentially, they've drastically outperformed in just these first couple of weeks of 2024. Doesn't really mean anything to outperform for just a couple of weeks. I mean, nobody really cares if that's all you're going to be doing. But either way, what happened yesterday was that Wall Street giant Morgan Stanley came out and basically said that CrowdStrike is one of their top picks for 2024. They bumped them up from that equal weight to the overweight rating. And then shares took a ride. They rose less than 5%. So not a huge move, as a lot of that stuff is already priced in. CrowdStrike is very much a favorite among cyber stocks, unlike Palo Alto Networks and all those other fucking loser cyber stocks that aren't doing as well. Certainly didn't have as great a 2023, and CrowdStrike is looking like they're going to continue that greatness here into 2024. Moving on down to Match Group here, turns out it is much easier for the company that powers all those dating apps to actually find a partner than it is for you and me. So if we go ahead and take a look, Match Group, you guys know them. You've certainly used their products. They own Tinder, Hinge, basically every dating app that's not called Bumble is owned by Match Group. And they found a partner of their own yesterday in Elliott Management. Now, the only thing is, we don't know if this partnership is entirely consensual, at least from Match's perspective. We're all about consent here at the Daily Peel, but we don't know if Match Group has actually given that. Elliott doesn't seem to care too much, as they've already dumped $1 billion into this relationship here. So they're making heavy investments. Elliott is very much known as kind of a ruthless activist. They're known to push out CEOs and managers with absolutely no regard for, you know, their families or their livelihoods. And why should they care, to be quite honest? We're here to make money. So what we saw yesterday was Elliott had announced that they built that $1 billion position. Wall Street loves when Elliott gets into a stock, especially a tech stock like this, but it's absolutely terrifying for the people out in Silicon Valley because they know that means that the CEO, other managers, or other shit about the business is probably going to be fucked over the next couple of weeks. And so analysts do expect Elliott to engage with management, but for a company like Match that's gone through seven CEOs in about the past decade, and by the way, for reference, the average tenure for a CEO is 7 years, so the fact that you've gone a decade with seven CEOs, it's definitely a little bit off from what we're used to seeing, and might be one of the reasons that Elliott is getting their hands involved. It'll be interesting to see what goes on there, but of course, the dating market is pretty hot right now, so Elliott's happy to get involved. Now, if we go into JetBlue down here, it's been a tough year, tough week for airlines especially. I mean, we got doors blowing out of planes. The only next step that we could take is for passengers to be flying out of these planes, and you might have thought that's what happened to JetBlue yesterday based on this performance, but no, it turns out their CEO is just an absolute loser. So basically, what's going on is JetBlue started having some troubles. There's a lot going on there. First of all, American Airlines broke up with them and ended that marriage. They got a divorce just a couple of months ago, right about when JetBlue started that Spirit merger. Basically, this was done to kind of temper antitrust concerns, but it didn't do nearly good enough a job because regulators have already started a court battle with JetBlue and Spirit as well. So they got those two things to work with. And then, of course, just over the past couple of weeks, it turns out that some of the RTX engines that actually power JetBlue planes are complete nonsense. They absolutely do not work. So they got to go in there and fix those. And what did the CEO say when all of these things happened and times got tough? He said, peace the fuck out. Good luck, guys. I'm out of here. He's, you know, much older, just apparently doesn't want to deal with the bullshit anymore. So Rob dipped the hell out of there. So that's Robin Hayes. He left JetBlue. And of course, the market absolutely hates surprises more than anything else. So seeing the CEO leave without kind of an announcement or any kind of succession plan was definitely not a good start to the day for them. But it wasn't as bad over at Hewlett-Packard, not only in share price performance, because they only fell about 9% on the day, but HP actually fell for probably a little bit of a less bad reason. So the old school grandpa's version of Apple is coming out here and they want to get even bigger themselves. They're basically a $20 billion stock and they're looking to shell out about $14 billion to purchase Juniper Labs. Of course, that's not entirely going to be done in just cash and stock. They're going to have to probably pony up some debt for that as well. So we'll see how much goodwill and how much provisioning they're going to have to do in order to actually complete that merger. But essentially, HP wants to get into that networking market. Networking products is shit like routers and like other stuff like that that actually powers the networks in which I'm talking to you on right now here. So they want to get into that game. They want to compete with Cisco. Cisco is the $200 billion behemoth that's in the room, at least in the networking space. So it'll be interesting to see HP kind of step up to the plate and see what they can do there. All right, let's get into the fun stuff from yesterday. So right now, Nerdfest is going on in Silicon Valley, or not in Silicon Valley this time. That's a permanent Nerdfest out in the Bay Area. But they brought the Nerdfest to Las Vegas this week. So the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, this is an annual event that's been held for, you know, the past couple of decades where consumer electronics companies essentially come in and showcase some of their newest products. Some cool shit came out yesterday, including what we have right behind us here at the Daily Field Global Headquarters, the world's first ever iteration of a micro-LED screen. Samsung was kind enough to send it to us, obviously, because they knew that our reporting would reach the widest audience and, of course, have the most captivating grip on audiences around the world. But there was also some other cool shit going on, too. One of our favorites was Philips' smart deadbolt lock. I don't know how anybody hasn't done this yet, but apparently your palm has a palm print, just like a fingerprint. And Philips, the actual smart people that they have over there, have designed some kind of a deadbolt lock where you can effectively use your palm print as the key to get into your home. Obviously, we love to see that. We're very pro-safety here at the Daily Peel. And so that's some great stuff. But in the exact opposite of safety, Samsung came back with another one of their new products in Bali. This is probably the worst named product I've ever heard in my entire life. But Bali is this little kind of creepy-ass little robot thing that rolls around your house. It's kind of like a Roomba, but it's a ball, so it's omnidirectional rather than just being cool like Roomba and going kind of back and forth. But so basically what this thing does, it's kind of like a movable screen. It's supposed to be like an assistant kind of thing where you can just, you know, get pretty much whatever you want from this ball. But right now, its main benefit is serving as like kind of a projector for if you wanted to watch movies, or it could even be like a second screen for, you know, when you need more screens to load up more charts so that you can place better trades, you could use something like Bali to go ahead for that. Then, of course, we also did get some AI-based holograms from HoloConnex. This was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my entire life. But yes, holograms are, it looks like they're coming more and more to the kind of mainstream market. We should see those over the next couple of years, but of course, they don't really release timelines on these things. The last thing that we saw was a mental health smart mirror, which is a four-word phrase that I never thought I would put together in that successive order, but apparently it's a thing. So companies are putting together these mirrors that can actually read your facial expressions and I guess adjust what they're showing back to you to make you feel better potentially. Sounds very blue pill to me to be doing something like that and, you know, not actually just kind of seeing what you look like on a day-to-day basis, but I digress. Either way, it's always cool to see CES and exactly what's coming out. We do have three more days of this, including today, tomorrow, and the following day, of some more dystopian, absolutely terrifying, kill you in your sleep style products to be coming out. Definitely stay tuned for that. We'll also want to see which companies and technology steal the show. This doesn't really generate any kind of share price movements because they showcase the new technologies that they just figured out how to build. But of course, there's still a long way from actually incorporating these into any products. It's basically a big get excited show and turns out to be a nothing burger overall. But speaking of the tech market, of course, we wanted to end today with a wise investor quote from the tech kingpin himself, Mr. Marc Andreessen. He said, almost every dot-com idea from 1999 that failed will succeed. It kind of seems like that's coming alive, especially with some of the shit that we're seeing at CES. Basically, what he's saying is that a lot of those 1999 ideas were just simply too far ahead of their time. If you don't believe him, if you think that's too unfathomable to believe, check out a company called General Magic. These were the people who originally invented the smartphone. They actually released the first one. But it was in the mid-90s. It was just way too ahead of its time. Then a lot of those people who worked in that company went on to do things like create Apple AirPods, create a whole bunch of the tech that we use here today. But that it's a case study in things being ahead of their time. Definitely go check that out. And that's essentially what Andreessen's saying here. But that finishes things up for us here today. It is now 11:15 a.m. here on this beautiful Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. Thank you, Ace, so much for joining us here today once again. We will see you live tomorrow right about this time. And as always, happy trading. Best of luck out there, guys.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, patrick@wallstreetoasis.com. And until next time. We'll be right back.